When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Yeah. Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome once again to the summer to eight.
Oh, no. It's a summer slam, this boy.
Oh, God.
It's a summer slam. What's happened, bro? What's happened?
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Well, someone's walked in the room, isn't it?
No, I've just fallen apart already. I can't even intro this thing.
You know what?
Welcome to a summer edition of
Wolf and Owl podcast with me, the owl, and him. Hi, I'm the wolf. My crazy co-host has got Portugal brain at the moment, yo.
Oh, do you know what? Oh, honestly, in all seriousness, over the last couple of days, I've been making like proper dad jokes.
Oh, no.
And to the point where Theo said to me, I don't know how you're going to go back to work if you're going to be doing stuff like that. Yeah, he said to me, if you're going to be cracking jokes like that.
Do you think there's a problem now that you, because you're like a bit of a show-off, obviously, in life. Do you think now that like...
I knew you were going to go in this angle because you sat back, you started stroking your chin because you knew you had something you're proud of to deliver. Go on.
No, but you're a bit like, you know, if we're out in company and we're out with mutual friends, you'll be like sort of like doing cracky, zany things, right? Is it now that because you're with your family?
Is that your recollection of me? Is that whenever you and I are with mutual company that I'm doing zany things? Or do you find that I become an elective mute for the evening?
I love the thought, right, of you being going like, we're out with some people and people are going, oh, fucking hell, he's had like three beers. And then you going, who thinks I can juggle all these bags of crisps? Oh, don't worry about it, mate. It's fine. No. You said I can't juggle these bags of crisps.
Okay, look, go. Buy every flavour of crisps. I bet I can finish it in 45 seconds. No, go on. No, put your money on the table. Look, you can talk about that issue later. Look, honestly, I'll do it right now for you.
Romy, no feelings. What sort of stuff? What have you been standing in front of them and doing? Like a little audience?
Or? No. But like for example, Theo had a bit of, it was his birthday yesterday. He had a bit of birthday.
Big shout out my guy, Theo. Happy birthday, bro.
He had some cake on his chin.
Right.
I actually went, all right, cake chin. I mean, I don't even think that's route
one. It's not even a joke, man.
I know. Mate, Tom.
How old was Theo?
12.
Oh, man. Like, you might be able to do that to Charlie and get away with it. How old's Charlie now?
7.
Yeah. Charlie, Kate Chin's going to work with Charlie. You probably think it's like a superhero or something, right? Like, Theo is not, you're not going to get respect
you know what I find so weird about your response? Not weird. Weird is the wrong thing. What I find so cruel, I would say, about your response to this. okay, is that I've just said to you, it's a thing that I'm not worried about, but you know, it's an issue. My son said to me, "You're making dad jokes, right?" And I've shared that with you, right? And you, if we got an email going, "Oh, hello guys, love the podcast. Please keep me anonymous. I'm a working comedian who's been on holiday for a little bit and a little bit nervous about going to work because I started making jokes with my kids that would be classified as dad jokes and now I'm starting to worry about going to my job." You go, "Okay, well, first of all, let me just stop you there. This is one of the greatest emails we've ever received. Let me just tell you something. I imagine you're the best comedian in the world. Now, what you've got to do is remember, you're on holiday, you're trying to entertain your kids, you're just having a nice time. What you do at Worst is not the same as what you do on Thou's vacation, all right? So what I would say to you, my friend, is, you know, actually, the way that you made a joke with your son suggests to me that you're one of the nicest human beings on the planet. That's what I'd say to you, first of all.
Right, let's put this into context.
Relax yourself and do you. Right. And then I say it to you in conversation, "Oh, you fucking..."
No,
must be worried about that. You get away with that with a 7-year-old, but you can't say that to a 12-year-old. Right. Your career's over.
You came on here showing off, right, saying, "Oh, I've been smashing these fucking dad jokes," right? Okay? And then you're like, "Oh, yeah," I'll turn around to Charlie, had some cake on his chin. I'm like, "Yo, look at you. What's your nickname? Cake Chin," right?
No. You've embellished that. I went, "Hello, Cake Chin."
Right, okay, yeah. Arguably, mine's better, right? Look, the truth was...
Do you know what the worst thing is? I said, if you're a member of the Avengers, you'd be Kate Chin.
You didn't say that.
I think
oh, my God. Right. It's like, you should have turned around and go, "Knock, knock." Go on, quick. Knock, knock.
Oh, sorry. Who's there?
Your chin. It's got some cake on it.
Yeah, my issue with that is you're making that person have to respond to what is essentially the delivery of a turd. At least with my joke, you didn't have to do anything.
Hold on.
Okay, go on.
Your chin's cooling. It's got some cake on it.
Oh, no.
This is actually an old building site classic. If you used to have food down your chin or sort of around your mouth, yeah, someone would go, "Oi, didn't you want that bit?"
That's a good one. Oh, God, yeah, that...
Well, you're saving that for later.
Yeah, this kid's starving in Africa. This bloke's got enough food to leave someone his face. Anyway, how have you been?
Good, boy. Good. Just like...
I'm actually missing you a lot.
I miss you, babe.
Your beard is very fulsome and thick.
Do you know this is the heartbreaking thing? This is doing it.
I know what you're about to say.
The next 24 hours, I have to shave this beard off.
Oh,
I'm going to be like moon face again. Like looking at this now, I look at this beard and go, you know what? I finally got this to where I want it, right? And then I'm conscious now, right, that for probably the rest of this, well, what we call the summer, and I'm doing that in inverted commas because I'm being ironic, or sarcastic at one of the two.
It sort of takes a stank off it a bit when you don't even know what you're talking about.
Is I'm going to look like someone's drawn a fucking face on the back of a ball bag. It's like, genuinely, like, I hate fucking being clean-shaven. It's such a horrible thing.
How long will you have to be clean-shaven for?
It's a bit of a... Well, for 6 weeks of filming this thing, and then I go into straight into another thing, and then it's... So I'm hoping that I can regrow a beard of sorts between... Because it's then I'm filming till January, so it's going to be sporadic, like on and off. So hopefully I can just grow.
Is this just a story about how busy you are?
Sort of, yeah.
I'm struggling because I'm gonna have to. Do you know what my nightmare is, Tom? Is I've got to shower every day because I've got to be clean to go and film.
At the moment, you don't have to shower every day because you can get in that sweet, sweet swimming pool. You're literally now living the fucking this. You are in the dream life, and you look so morose about it.
Can I just apologise to you and the listeners because I'm sort of half asleep at the moment. It's really... I'm sort of struggling. I feel like I'm struggling. I'm listening to you talking. I think, God, Tom's on form today. And I just feel like really sort of foggy. You've just been exercising, haven't you? That's why. That's the difference.
Have you been exercising out there?
I've been running every day.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, yes, I have been. Obviously not to lose weight, just to counteract everything else I'm doing while I'm out here.
What's your diet like while you're out there? Because let me shout out Portugal, by the way, because Portugal's pretty good for dude like you, vegan. Right?
Shout out Portugal. Shout out Europe, actually.
Not Europe, man. Don't shout out Europe.
No, not Europe. No.
There's some places like... No, I mean, look, shout out Europe on the basis of Europe doing great things, but some European... Like, I'm talking about veganism and where people are at for guys like you. And, like, there's been a couple of European places I've been, and I'm like, oh, God. I actually say to my missus, Ron would not be able to cope here. Ron Ash would fucking have a terrible time here for food.
Well, you said that to Catherine?
Yeah, I've said it to waiters as well. My friend's a vegan. If he came here, he'd have an awful time.
Really? What did they say? Thank you so much for complaining about something that is not relevant to tonight and you at all.
No, they just sort of say, oh, why? And I'm like, because there's nothing on your menu you'd be able to eat. You probably have to.
No, then they go, no, I meant, why are you bringing this up?
Like, he'd have to order off menu, that's all I'm saying, if he ever came here.
So, have I told you this story about the... Have I told you the VR goggle story?
No, well, you got VR goggles in your palatial villa.
No. So this is a story that was in my last book, right?
Yeah.
And it's a story about, it's not a story, it happened. We were at this restaurant in Portugal a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And our Alex, our second son, was due to get a PlayStation 4 for his birthday. His birthday's a little bit after a little bit after the summer, right?
Yeah.
So I said to him, he's about to get his PlayStation. We sat at this restaurant. He said, I want the fish.
Right.
And I said to him, let me say something now, my little G. It's not fish fingers. That is actually going to look like a fish. It's going to have a head and a tail, and it's going to be looking at you. You do not want that fish. And he said, I want it. And I said, I know what's going to happen. You're going to order the fish. It's going to arrive here, and you're not going to want it. He said, honestly, that's what I want. Anyway, the fish arrived.
Just quickly, you've got the problem as well. When it comes, the fish does come. He doesn't want to eat it. You can't finish it because of your political beliefs. So,
okay, first of all, I'm not vegan because of political beliefs.
Really? Ethical. All right, sorry, yeah. Yeah.
Would you pretend to apologise to me because you got the word wrong?
No, I'm just saying.
In a narky way. Okay, fine. Ethical.
Like,
I fucking invented the word ethical. I've been going around telling everyone, when you say political, can you say ethical, actually? That's how I prefer it.
No, like, if he's struggling with the fish, you can't jump in and go, all right, I've got this.
No, and also the swan hates fish.
What?
Can't eat it.
Oh, I'll remember that for if you ever come around for a barbecue. I won't have any fish or prawns. Does she like prawns?
I mean, if you invite us around, it's going to be a fucking terrible evening.
No, it'd be fucking Tofu City, wouldn't it? With a couple of beef burgers thrown in the mix.
Why does tofu taste so good, Tom? It's just like, what have you done to this? Oh, I just cooked it with the burgers. That's what you're tasting there, my friend. I thought I'd invite you to a little place I like to call Flavour Country. Enjoy.
That's beef burger juice, my baby.
Rob, you know that little sort of brown, you know that brown kind of crust on a tofu there, the flavour bit there? Yeah, that's beef. Beef juice.
But it's not actual beef, so you can eat it. You know that sort of slimy little sludge around it?
The only bit that's got any fucking taste. Yeah. Anyway, so by the way, what I'm about to tell you is stupid by me. So the fish arrived. He said, I don't want it. I said to him, you're just saying that now because you're being a bit fussy. And I was handling this wrong. My son is fussy about food and that should be respected. And the way that I used to handle it is not acceptable. Right? I used to sort of make it out like he was laying it on a bit thick. But the truth is, if somebody doesn't like something, they don't like something. And that needs to be respected. And I didn't get that at that time. I thought he'd just been a bit difficult. Having said that, on this occasion, I thought I'd won because I said to him, I think you're just being fussy. In fact, I'm so sure you're just being fussy. If you eat that fish, which I'm sure you can and will enjoy it, I'll get you VR goggles to go with your PlayStation. Right? Now, I've told this story a couple of times to mates, and they've told me it really is a pathetic thing I did.
Yeah.
And also a needlessly expensive thing I did. And also, when you tell the story, it sounds a bit dick swingy as well.
Yeah,
because
you're going,
so I accept all of that, I acknowledge all of that. And thank you so much for listening to what I said there without jumping in and going, well, yeah, let's just say, you know, Rob, it's a fucking horrible move.
No, I don't think it's horrible. I just think what you should have done is, knelt down next to him, looked in the eye and gone, if you can finish this fish, you shall have the respect of your father.
Do you know what? It really speaks volumes to me that you think that would have any impact upon him at all. If you think that kid gives a shiny shit about having my respect. Anyway, he smashed through the fish before he could fucking bat an eyelid, right? Done and gone. His birthday rolls around. We get him the VR goggles. He's been playing with them ever since on his PlayStation. This trip, we're on the plane. We're on the way to Portugal. He said, I'm sat next to him. He said to me, he requested to sit next to me. I thought it's because he liked me, but I'm wondering if it's because he wanted to tell me what I'm about to tell you he told me. So I sat on the plane and he said, there's something I need to tell you. And I said, what? And he said, you know, 2 years ago when we came to Portugal and you told me if I finished that fish, you'd get me VR goggles. I said, yeah. And he said, I put the fish under the cushion of my suit.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming. My guy.
And you know the reason? Well, the reason he told me, I don't think he told me because he felt guilty. He told me because he knew that we were going to go back to that restaurant. And the geezer that...
He's probably been thinking about it for ages. Returning to the scene of the crime. Like a guy who's fucking robbed a fucking casino in Vegas who's worried about going back.
The guy that runs the restaurant always remembers that I'm vegan. So that's what started freaking him out, because he knows that the guy remembers us. So then he was like, what if they go, they found this fish under the cushion like last time we went. I said, well, we'll have to see, won't we, mate? And then he started going, please, can we not go to that restaurant? Please, can we not go to that restaurant? And then I said to him, why don't you walk in and go, God, I've not been here since that bloke put that fish under my seat that I didn't realise about until after I'd gone. Something like that. So just sort of drew like a cover story. He was actually considering it. And I said to him, look, he was refusing to go to the... He wasn't refusing to go to the restaurant. He's not that type of kid. He was just going, can we not go to that restaurant? Can we not go to that restaurant? I said, let me phone up and make the booking. I said, if they give me an inclination that they spent about a year trying to isolate the source of this absolute stench that been plaguing their restaurant, then we don't have to go. Anyway, I don't know if they remembered, I don't know if they did, but they didn't mention it when we went there. He was very relieved. Anxious evening for him. But I thought, actually, he needed a bit of anxiety. Not anxiety. Well,
I mean, let's get this straight as well. It's not just the restaurant owner, he's played for an absolute punk. Like, he's fucking...
It's Lisa, yes.
No, well, yeah, but Lisa didn't give it the old dick swing going, I'm going to get you VR goggles. It's like, genuinely, I actually respect the kids. Look, you know, I love all your boys, but fucking hell, man, Alex is just, he's something
else.
Yeah,
listen, I gave him respect for that. I actually thought it was incredible.
To think about, and also, right, the eyes of the table are on Alex. As soon as he says, I want the VR goggles, right, the eyes of the table, maybe even the restaurant are on him, right? This little boy is going to take on a whole fish.
Well, we didn't announce it to the establishment.
I mean, yeah, maybe you should have done, because it was a big move from him, right? He then, right? I mean, it probably shows how much you were scoffing your face that you weren't keeping an eye on your fucking the biggest bet.
What's going on with you today?
You weren't keeping any eyes on him. You're like eating your dinner, wolfing it down, right? And he's like that. Fucking hell, man!
I would accept this if I was talking to a guy that fucking took his time over his own food. but don't forget, I've seen you eat on countless occasions, right?
No.
You wouldn't notice a fucking explosion if you're in the middle of a meal.
No, but like that is fucking, that is like Ocean's 11 kind of vibes, isn't it?
I know.
To hide the fish under a cushion is fucking,
I know,
clever.
But then, do you know what? Even though he, like you said, he played me and he lied about it, I felt sorry for him that it'd been sitting on his mind. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
But you must have felt a little bit of pride, because he's like, he's played the house and he's won, right?
Yeah, but you can't.
You can't show him that, but there must have been a bit in you and think, fucking hell, like. Like, if nothing else, like, you know, I don't know what he's doing at school, but he could be quite a, like, poker player or a snooker player, like, going from town to town, playing, like, hustling
people. Yeah,
that's
the dream. It's for him to be a travelling snooker player.
No, but, like, he could be quite a good hustler, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be, like, yeah, going around, like, sort of American cities and stuff, and then Theo and Charlie reach out and try and, like, go and see him and stuff, and, like, he's living in Delaware, and he's, like, marriage,
and then we go and visit him wherever he is, and then he ends up robbing us and moving on to the next city. There's just a little note going, looks like it's fish time again, Alex.
AKA the Phantom. Old Kate Chin just sitting there.
What are you looking at, Kate Chin? Fucking
not again. You're 33, mate. get up. Quick.
How many times did I tell you, I'm going to stop giving you cake. And when are you moving out? Oh, God. We went to a water park yesterday. And you know what? Last week on this podcast, I talked to you about being a little bit more body confident on this holiday.
Yeah, yeah. And I was proud of you,
man. And partly thanks to you and your photo.
Yeah.
And I went to a water park. I really struggle at water parks.
In what sense?
Because you have to walk around in just the swim shorts. Like, not even just lying on the beach. You're walking around the whole day just in swim shorts, right?
You know what I've thought, just quickly on that? I've thought maybe what could make you look quite cool in that situation is take your dressing gown, like a nice dressing gown. Like a thin one, but a nice, and walk around in that.
Mm. You're absolutely right, yeah. No, and then how long do you think it would be before they think someone's escaped from a local institution and come to the water park?
No, you can have it open a little bit, like... If you're walking around, you've got your board shorts on, I'm assuming, right? And you've got your dressing gown on. Like, and it hasn't got to be a big, thick, sort of like mega top dressing gown. It's like quite a thin sort of like one, maybe with like an Arsenal logo on the back, right?
Oh, my God.
No, I think you could look quite cool. Then you've got your baseball cap on back to front. I think...
Yeah. Just like a really shit, fat, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air tribute.
Charlie with some cake on his chin.
And Alex, the kid's crying. Dad, can you just take the dressing gown off, please? You're ruining Aqua Show.
You know what you could be, what would be really cool, though, is when you get to the top of one of the slides and you give your dressing gown to the guy at the top, you know, the guy to help you down. And you just go, hold this, bro. I'm about to make some waves.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Yeah. Do you like water parks?
I'm with you on the basis of walking around with no top on all day, because I do think you have, it is that side of things. Because just in the very nature of water parks, right, is you're going to have quite a few people who are in their sort of late, sort of, you know, 18, 19 to sort of like mid-20s who are stacked, who look amazing, right?
It was just insane.
And then you're just insane. Walking around, and that, it's a real fucking note to yourself to go, oh, well, yeah, I am officially middle-aged now, you know. And sort of, I think once you can get that in your head and realise that sort of no one expects.
Well, you know, the other thing is you are shorn of all of your disguise, you know, your costume. Because when you're fully dressed, you know, you put on some like fresh clothes, you put on a hat, you put on some shades or whatever. It's all this stuff to sort of mask what you are.
Yeah.
Then you're in a situation where, for the day, you're just in your shorts.
Have twice been in at a water park and done a Homer Simpson, and the push of the water, and maybe, yeah, obviously my weight, and I think maybe some of the friction caused by body hair has meant that I've like literally got to a certain level down.
Oh yeah, and you get stuck.
Yeah, yeah, and you've then got to do that really muggy thing of like pushing yourself in your hands.
And I don't know what's more humiliating, the visual or just hearing the sound of what sounds like rubber rubbing against like a bathtub or whatever. Just
And also
that squeak.
This is the saddest thing that actually fucking makes me feel even more sick. Like having to fucking like push yourself down on your own hands, knowing that the water's now fucking built. Number one, knowing hopefully that someone's got a fucking grip on this and he's not just fucking like
sent someone else.
Yeah, he sent someone else down. He's gonna smash into your back, and then you're gonna apologize, right? Because you're a fucking piece of shit, right? But then you're doing it with your hands, and you know, like when like the one that I got caught on was one, it's like a full round one, so like you're hidden, right? And then you come out at the end of the sort of like fucking 360 thing, and it opens up, and usually that opens up, and someone just comes flying out, going like that, right? You're on your fuck pushing yourself down with your hands, right? But you still feel the inclination to show that you're having a good time. So you're pushing yourself down in your hands. Then you try and lie back, hoping the water might just fucking take you. The water's now fucking, is like fucking sand, like a dune around your fucking head. And you're like, push yourself down, going, And then you fucking literally push yourself into the water, like an old man getting into a fucking hot bath.
Yeah.
And it's, fuck water parks, actually, now thinking about it.
Well, I actually think they're disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, they're very unsanitary. They're one of my,
sort of loads of people just pumping emissions into that into that water.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, actually, someone dug us out the other day about a long time ago, the We in the Sea episode.
What did they say?
We got a lot of ats. I think it was on Twitter.
Saying what?
But me and you were advocating people weeing in the sea. And then I think Kerry. And then Kerry Katona would go.
Oh, mate, I saw this. Kerry Katona.
Yeah.
Kerry Katona. I don't want to listen. I don't get dragged into some sort of like
ongoing
beef here. Kerry Katona went on
Good Morning Britain, I think, or Good Morning this morning.
To
let me just say, if Holly and Phil were there as two of your best friends, they'd have fucking definitely fucking stuck up for you.
Who was hosting when?
Probably Eamon and Ruth, I'd imagine.
Oh, that's fine. So Kerry Katona was talking about how offensive she finds it when people wee into the sea.
Yeah.
And how she doesn't want to be near somebody who's weeing in the sea. First of all, can I say, you shouldn't be that close to anybody in the sea. It's the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the one place where you can give some people some personal space. I would say, if you're close enough, if I could have a bumper sticker on my shorts, it would say, if you're close enough to feel the warmth of my urine, you're too close.
See, that's what I'd fucking wear to a water park. Where everyone's crammed in. Fucking mums dragging their kids away from you.
Anyway, do people think it's an issue then?
No, but what I'm saying is, right, in the sea, I'm completely with it. But let me tell you, water parks, mate, you are dizzy if you don't think, like, the amount of fun being had at water parks by, I'd say, 80% of the people there. Like, they'll lose.
You think 80% of the people piss themselves in a water park? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, and
80%.
And quite a lot of them, I'd imagine, like, little farts as well. And, like, you know, when the water thing's going off and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, man, you've got to be really fucking on that.
Yeah. And also, just sort of the number of anuses that are being rinsed.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think some people are so excited to fucking get out and jump in the pool, they probably don't. They're not doing a thorough job of wiping their bums.
Okay. Well, all you're doing is giving a real deep insight into how you behave at a water park. So now we know that you've pissed yourself, and now we know you don't bother to clean your ass properly. We also know that if you're on holiday, you don't shower because you rinse yourself off in the pool.
Fucking filthy. living like a peasant in the 1800s.
This cafe code, Tom, we're just on holiday.
flies buzzing around me.
Why do you always have to regress? Just eating wild boar and not cleaning your ass.
Stinking of chlorine. You're right, Mr. Dave. Yeah, I was washing a pool earlier. That chlorine will kill any bacteria.
Oh, God.
The boys enjoyed it, though, right?
Mate, that's the reason you go. They loved it. All three of them stepped up. I don't know. It must be Lisa, because it's not my genetics. They're all fearless.
Yeah.
So I remember walking around as a kid. Like, genuinely, my mum said to me that I was such a wuss when I was a kid. She didn't say it in those words, but basically I was such a wuss. She said she once took me to meet some friends, like when I was really young. She once took me to meet some friends at a playground. And because I was so sort of inagile and kind of overweight, I saw the climbing frame that we were going to be playing on and I started crying.
Oh yeah, I've been there though, brother.
You just sort of know what the afternoon's got in store for you, which is you going around a series of things and being much shitter than your mates.
No, but also walking beneath them, as they
go across along the monkey bars. It's fun here. Look at your shoes.
Like, you know, you know, like when a ninja warrior where a wife or a husband's running alongside them, like a ninja warrior.
Oh, and then the worst is when you try, when you try and join in.
You know the monkey bars, right, that go across? I used to be terrified. At our local park, they had some of those, right? And this was before, like now it's like a different world because like they've got that soft concrete stuff, the soft tarmac they put down.
Yeah.
It's quite spongy. Like when we were kids.
Proper, you know, these kids don't know they're born, do they?
No. And I remember just thinking, even at a young age, I could genuinely die if I went on that. I remember going to Water Palace in Purley.
Yeah, we've talked about
it. We talked about it before, the razor blade place. I remember like there. I mean, to be fair, I'm quite amphibious. So, do you know what I mean?
You're not amphibious.
Yeah, look, that's the one place that I knew that I'd become a dominant force within the, you know, that people would talk about me all around, you know, probably as far as Crawley, as the boy who could, you know, hold his breath for a whole fucking, like when the wave machine was going.
Well, you just go under the water and...
Yeah,
hold your breath the whole time. What a lovely treat for the lifeguards working there. I imagine their favourite thing is people that go underwater or pretend they're drowning.
Did you ever used to do that?
The two things that make their job so easy.
Did you ever used to do that? Do you know one of my favourite things to do when I was probably about from the age of about 14 to about 29, right? Yeah. One of my favourite things to do, right? This is actually a good. This is a joke to put on the boys to get some respect back, right?
Okay.
Go and get a Mars bar or Snickers, right? Leap into the pool.
Snickers?
Yeah. Leap into the pool as hard as you can, right? And sort of like create a bit of a scene. Oh, but put the Snickers down the back of your shorts, right? And as you're swimming, let the Snickers come out of the back of your shorts so it looks like you've pooed yourself. It's so, honestly, that'll get them and that'll get your respect.
When have you done that?
I've done that so many times.
Have you?
Yeah. Like one of my favourite things used to be, right? If you know, like when you're in like, back in the day, if you go to Magaluf or something, right, and there's sort of like you're at a busy pool, there's all people around and stuff. Like, so it was a really busy pool, a lot of people in it, and people playing water polo or whatever, people fucking about. And then I'd do that, and there'd be like and I'd go, oh my God, like that. And then there'd be like a Mars bar. And you'd have to sometimes squeeze it so it looked like a poo.
Just imagine your mate's going, where's Tom? Oh, he's gone to the, you're not going to fucking believe it. What? He's gone to the vending machine. Oh, God.
Maybe.
It's going to do it again, isn't it? Yeah. Can you just laugh along? Because, bless him, it's the only thing he ever does on this holiday that he feels proud of.
He's
so ashamed at the bars of how he gets on.
None of the girls are going near him, even though he
doesn't really like taking his top off at the beach. So.
You know, someone's shat in our pool. Yeah, I wonder if that was. That was actually me, but it was a Mars bar. Yeah, everyone thinks you're disgusting because of this. No, but the boys might find it really funny. That could get you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, try it.
That could get me some parts.
Video, get Lisa to video it and we'll put it up on the...
Yeah, I'll put it up on the audio podcast, no worries.
Hold up. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Right, should we do some emails?
Let's go, homie. Let's go.
All right, hold on one sec. Now, big up the Swan, who... I need to give the Swan an extra shout-out today.
Yo.
So, after this, we finish this recording, I'm going to be going for my run. Yep. And the Swan has been going for a morning walk. Obviously, we can't go at the same time because the kids are here. And she left for a walk, cut her walk short because she remembered she hadn't done the emails.
Oh, wow.
I know. She rushed back. I said to her, I've got it under control. Don't worry. She goes, no, I'm the Swan and I have to do this. Man. She didn't say it as dramatically.
I guess she's the wind beneath our wings in a way.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is these are going to be quite half-assed because she chose them last minute. Okay. This is from the Sloth. We've had a few Sloths, I believe.
Yeah.
Hi, Tom, Rom and the Swan. Recently found your pod. It's wonderful and your friendship is golden. Thank you so much, Sloth. I also have a very tight group of colleagues. I'll go out on a limb and call them friends. She's done a very Tom thing here, which is named all of them. I'm not going to read out the names. Anyway, big love. We're recently reminiscing about event tele... Do you know what? She doesn't want to be anonymous, so I'm just going to say it's Sue, okay? And her friends are Steve, Nathan, Rachel and Gemma.
You know what? This sounds like a really cool group. Like, genuinely a nice bunch of people.
Why?
No, when you said Sue, I was like... I was just trying to think. I was like, Sue is just a very like humble, sweet name, right? That I think is a nice, genuine sort of person, right? And then as you're sort of going through the others, I was like, yeah, Nathan sounds cool, Steve, yeah, good bunch of people.
Okay, I can't even be bothered to unpack all of that. So we were reminiscing recently about event telly of our youth. One that Steve and I had in common was Big Brother, and we bonded over our excitement of the Friday night eviction show. The working week was done. We'd stop off specifically for snacks, get the blanket out and fully relax. Friday night was Big Brother night. We look forward to it all week. Where I lost a bit of respect for Steve, so it wasn't for getting excited about eviction night, was his snack choices. He had the whole of his local shop to choose from. Every crisp, chocolate bar and biscuit. I tell you what, Sue writes an email a lot like Tom Davis talks, by the way.
Shout out, Sue.
Steve is a food lover, so I was excited to hear the specifics of his choices. Imagine my horror, rather, when he chose a yogurt.
What?
A yogurt. His justification was, yeah, but it was a good one, the one with the corner.
Müller Corner.
Well, we don't know.
That is breakfast food. Don't know. It's a Müller Corner. You're talking Big Brother, late 90s, early part of this century. That had been a Müller Corner.
It might have been a corner shop knockoff, mightn't it? It might have been a Maller or something.
Yeah, well, okay. Maybe. I don't know. Looking at Steve.
Don't get narky with me. Whenever you speculate like this... Oh, we have a little fun, little detour down a potential...
No, you're talking about Steve, right, who's sitting there and he's got all these snacks. I think Steve is going to... I'll give him the credit to say that if he's having a corner yogurt, he's having a Müller Corner.
Fine.
I don't respect it, but yeah, I can imagine Steve's doing all right for himself. Go on.
We ran this choice past the rest of the group, and on this very important point, Steve is on his own. Yogurt isn't a snack, especially not a snack when you're practicing a bit of self-care with a blanket, snack and the TV you've been excited for all week. I need the views of the wolf and the owl. What would your go-to snack choices have been in this scenario? Can a yogurt ever be considered a snack? And should I just let Steve snack on whatever the fuck he likes? Thank you so much.
Listen, I think there's rules to this snack life. And I don't think yogurts are in it. And I agree. Like, actually, to be fair, you know what? If you'd have broken it down and said that he'd had, like, an Aero yogurt, I'd have respected him a little bit more.
Mm. Why is that better than a Müller Corner?
Because a Müller Corner is breakfast or lunch food.
What's going on?
Siri on my watch had just recorded all of that conversation, the whole of our podcast so far.
Well, that's good, because I imagine you're actually recording it on your end of the laptop.
So it would just be Siri doing my bits.
Well, by the way, first of all, obviously, I don't eat yogurt. Well, yeah. I do eat yogurt, but I eat vegan yogurt, which people will get in touch with me if I say that and go, you can't call it yogurt because yogurt's got dairy in it or whatever.
Is it soy? Have the soy ones, the chocolate soy ones. They're quite nice.
Yeah, and they do the coconut ones. There's this Coconut Collective, they're amazing.
I'll have to look at those.
Anyway, so I remember when I was at school, I used to get the banana yogurt with chocolate covered cornflakes, Mullacorn. And that was nice. Absolutely delightful. I don't mind telling you.
Still not a snack not mind for watching a movie.
What is that?
Or...
What is that then? You wouldn't have that for breakfast. Unless
that's lunchtime, or that's either lunchtime, or that's for your dessert for a sort of probably a Wednesday or a Thursday tea, I'd imagine.
Right.
That's what I'd say.
Coconut Collaborative, sorry. Not Coconut Collective. Collaborative.
Shout out to them.
Anyway.
I would say snack-wise, what my thing would be is I would probably get a bottle stroke can of Fizzy Pop, or maybe two cans of Fizzy Pop. Probably at that time, even now, I'd probably reach for Coca-Cola or Coke Zero. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would then look at an assemblée of crisps. What's it would be an assemblée of crisps.
An assemblée?
Yeah.
I can't figure out. Say it slowly.
Assemblée.
Assemblée.
It's more of that might be a French word.
It might be a word, I think, is a sentence you're struggling for.
Right.
You're saying assemble with a French accent.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah, look. Yeah. Do you know what I meant by it?
Yeah,
you're being you're being very persnickety over.
Very good.
But
listen. By the way, this is a good point to bring this out. We haven't had a conversation like this for a while. Somebody had a go at me about picking you up for words.
I never mind because I'll fight my own.
But somebody said to me that I'm being a bit sort of like snobby and kind of being a bit arsy. And I do look. I take that point. But can I just say, and I want to clarify this again, I am not doing this to humiliate Tom.
No, and neither do I feel humiliated, because did you know what I meant by that word?
Yes, I did.
Then the rodeo is won, my friend.
Yeah, sure. But the point I'm trying to make is, I don't want you to go and say that word in a conversation elsewhere when you're not, you're talking to somebody, what if you're in a meeting, like some fucking meeting with, as you often are, in some meeting, you're trying to pitch a show. You're constantly pitching shows. You've probably got to pitch straight after this podcast, right? And then they say something to you like, they said, help yourself to a snack before we start the meeting. Oh, what an assemblée of items we have here. And then they said, we can't let this guy have a fucking show. He's a moron. I don't want that to happen to you.
Look, the whole of life is, if you can carry something off with enough bluff, they'll think, oh, I haven't heard it said like that before.
Fine. So are you saying that by me correcting you, I might be diminishing your chances of...
No, look, this is the difference, and this is what I want to get clear to everyone. Romesh will pick me out of words, and I will fight my own corner. The truth of the matter is, me and Romesh, one of my best friends, I love this man with all my heart, he knows that, right? The reason, he's an owl and I'm a wolf, is he flies in the woods and he's scared of, leaving them, right? I'm a wolf. I will fucking run through the woods and I'll run out into the desert or whatever. Wolves can survive, and wolves live outside the perimeters of normal foundations. So that is that is why sometimes I will try and use edgy words, or I will try and break convention. Yeah, and that's why it's good to have a best friend who's an owl, who can sort of sit on your shoulder and go, Christ, what are you doing? Hold back. You're too crazy. And the wolf goes, sometimes you'll go, actually, you know what? I'm going to fucking leave this battle. And sometimes the wolf goes, listen, dear friend, we're about to break through to another world.
What a long-winded way of saying absolutely fuck all. So anyway, the word that I believe you're looking for is ensemble.
Listen. So I have an assembly. Right, so what I'd look at is, I look at a Watsit as a staple cheese snack, right? Okay.
Okay.
Fine. So Watsits would definitely be in the mix. I'd then probably try and zhuzhu that up a little bit by a Frazzle added into the mix, a Monster Munch pickled onion, probably in later years, a Flaming Hot, and I would maybe a Skip if I'm feeling a bit more edgy. I'd then probably look at two different chocolate bars to have. One of those, again, you'd have a staple of, a Snickers, a Mars bar, or a Twix. Right, something that's not too edgy, and then to that you'd add something that had a little bit more to it, maybe even high end like Terry chocolate orange bar, something like that. Maybe and I don't want to get emotional here, but I don't know if anyone remembers Drifters. I don't see Drifters anymore. I haven't seen Drifters for ages, but Drifters to me were one of the finest inventions ever known to man. It was really a beautiful thing. And that would have been a normal chill blade sort of, actually, talking Friday night, aren't we? I probably would look at maybe Against Us pasty as well.
What, while you're watching Big Brother, you would have a can of Coke,
yeah,
back at Chris, a Drifter, and then a pasty?
No, I'd have the pasty first, of course.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'd have the pasty as the TV cracked into life and Davina McCall sort of, you know, lit up the room. And then by the time that, you know, they were doing the sort of like final eviction, I'd just be sort of finishing off my Drifter. I'd slow it down. You know, still even now, that, you know, actually, you know, I'd long for those days. Heady days, my friend.
Mm.
What about you? I mean, what about you?
What are you about to say?
No, because obviously you were a vegan at the time, so you couldn't have, you know, you've probably never had Against a steak slice.
No, well, I wasn't always vegan. I did used to have a Ginsters.
Did you? Do you miss them?
Yeah. No, not massively.
What would be the thing you miss most about meat?
I don't miss meat as much as I miss cheese.
Oh, wow, well, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, melted cheese is something that doesn't exist in the vegan world.
No.
So, what I would say, though, in terms of snack, I could recommend all sorts of regular snacks, but one of the things that I think is a bit of an unsung hero is if you go to the World Foods aisle,
yeah,
at your supermarket, or indeed any Asian-owned supermarket.
If you're going to say what I think you're going to say, I might well just get a flight to Portugal and hold you in my arms, but carry on.
Okay, this is a lot of pressure on this. They do a chili and lemon potato snack, and it is genuinely out of this world.
Mike. It was. I mean, I'm going to try that. I was thinking it was going to be something else. You know those little chili things that they do, like the little chili wafer type things. They're like little tiny round biscuits. Oh, man, what are they called?
I don't think I've had those.
Oh my god, that's what I thought you were going to say. They're definitely vegan because you can get them on Holland and Barrett's.
Oh, god. But these chili and lemon things are amazing. I can't remember the name of the company, but they're wicked. I was very anti the idea of eating a yogurt for a snack until I started watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And if any Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans will know that Terry, Sergeant Terry Jeffers, loves his yogurt. And when you watch, I'm so easily suggestible. So if I watch Terry in a yogurt at his desk, I think, oh, do you know what? I quite fancy a yogurt.
Do you lick the lid of a yogurt still?
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you have to.
No, yeah, of course you have to. I just don't know. Because obviously, like, sophistication and age depends. Some people find that disgusting if you do it on a tube or something. So
I wouldn't do it on a tube.
Or a train.
I wouldn't eat a fucking yogurt on a tube or a train.
Really? You always get yogurts on trains. Like yogurt,
when you always get yogurts?
Yogurts when you're sitting on a train. If you get, like, if you go to the snack car, always got yogurts there. That's one of the few times I'm definitely going to have a yogurt.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have a yogurt on a train. I don't think so. Do you know what I used to do on a late night train, which I've decided is unacceptable behaviour? I used to stop at Wasabi.
Oh, yeah.
Get like,
such a kindred spirit.
But they've got a Wasabi at Victoria Station.
They haven't. So, like, on the way back,
after a gig, I'd like go in there, get like a tub of curry, and then...
I did exactly that thing. Like, this is so fucking... I would go, right, to Wasabi, right? They do this incredible shout-out wasabi, like sweet chili sticky chicken, right? With, like, the sticky rice. It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
I was so addicted to that, but I'd eat that at, like, 11, 12 o'clock at night, as you would be, right?
It was insane.
And then I had literally the worst stomach through the night, right? And if I was gigging three times that week, I'd have the same meal that week.
Mate, 100%.
Yeah.
And I'd go, and it wasn't, you know the other disgusting thing about it? It would not matter how much I'd eaten that day. It wouldn't matter if I'd got to the gig eating. Literally, it doesn't matter how short the gap of time is. Have dinner, arrive at the gig. Doesn't matter if I'm only at the gig for 20, literally do my set and leave. I then have to have a wasabi at Victoria. Mate, it's mad.
That's so much. Oh, I'm so that person. Like to the point, if I go to a train station, even like now I struggle with this, but if I go to a train station, right, and I'll go and like look up and the train is like, I've got 15 minutes at the train station, I'll go, I might as well get a Burger King.
Yeah. Like, and you know, and sometimes I'll put pressure on my journey. What I could do is not take on 1,000 calories and have a relaxed wander over the train. But no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and queue up at a food place that I don't need because I've already had three meals that day. And then fucking have to sprint with a bag of food to make the journey that I've made now high pressure because I'm such a greedy prick. Do you know how other people behave, Tom? Other people go, they turn up at Victoria and they go, or whatever train station, and they go, oh, I'm quite hungry because I haven't eaten that much today. Maybe I'll get something to eat. I know, let me have a look. Oh, do you know what? It's a short amount of time before the next train. I'm going to wait a little bit. And maybe by the time I get
I'll have a pear when I get home.
Go. Yeah, I'll just have an apple or something. Whereas you and I would go, I will actually, on occasion, I've been known to just get the next train.
It's so tragic. King's Cross, like leaving the station to find a Burger King. And also, like, this is so embarrassing. If I go to Burger King, right, and like, I'm a McDonald's guy really by heart, but if I go to Burger King, I have a Burger King meal and I have to order like 8 chili cheese bites. I'm like, I don't need those in my life.
Do you know that food that you, the food, that's, it's exactly, classic example of food you order to sort of keep you occupied as you're unwrapping the actual food that you consider to be the meal. Do you know what I mean? So I know exactly how that goes. You order the little side thing and then you're sort of unwrapping the burger or the... I'll be unwrapping my burrito as I'm eating these nachos. Do you know what I mean? That I didn't want.
What I love is I don't need a fucking... Like, number one, I don't need a fucking burger and chips, but I also don't need a fucking starter to that meal. So I don't need a fucking side dish.
I know. The idea of trying to construct 3 courses at Chipotle...
Trying to sprint past the fucking like Krispy Kreme.
Just going to Lola's. Can I just? I just need a single cup. Honestly, my train's leaving in a minute.
Yes, honey, give us 3 cookies. 45 minutes on the train. You've eaten all 3 cookies. You got with the best intentions of going. I'll give one of these cookies to my wife, and I'll have the other cookie at some point this week. You get home with chocolate around your fucking mouth. Oh, some wanker on the fucking train goes, you got chocolate on your chin.
Yeah. And then Lisa would do something like, even if I put it in the bin, the next morning she'll put something in the bin, she'll notice the wrapper. I'll come downstairs. Enjoy your cookies last night? Yeah, I did, Luther. Go fuck yourself.
I crumble to Gaff and I'll go, like, she'll go, have you had some food? And I'll go, yeah. And a Burger King on the way home, she's like, ugh.
I actually, like Sean Hughes, RIP, once gave me a bollocking on the phone.
Really?
About it. Sean Hughes, if you don't know, an amazing comedian who passed away a few years ago, but like one of the very best. I remember him phoning me up one night. He's asking, I don't know, he's just checking in about how a gig had gone or something. And then he sort of gave me this really affectionate, not like really nice, not like, you know, well-meaning, just sort of bollocking for eating after like late at night. He just said, I remember him saying to me, you're just going to eat and you're going to sleep on that now. You've got nothing else left in your day because you literally just have to, what are you doing? Fueling the walk upstairs to bed.
Yeah.
You know, like,
makes you sound even worse there, doesn't it?
Your face, you look exactly how I feel.
That's exactly, but it's like, he's so right, isn't he?
Okay.
Hit me, boy.
Next steamer.
Big shout out, by the way, Sue. Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Sue.
And I would say Sue's, I'd call her the duck rather than the sloth.
You call her the what?
Duck.
The duck, right.
Yeah.
And by the way, so I sounded like I was being a bit narky about you watching Big Brother when in actual fact I watched the first 5 series religiously.
I'm obsessed with it.
Tom, Rom and the Graceful Swan. Would love to stay anonymous. Where possible, team. Stumbled over your pod on day one. Long-time fan of both your work. Okay. I'm a serving army officer.
Wow. Big shout out to the forces. Bro.
Although having my own demons, speak with many soldiers and friends who suffer their own. The key is actually getting people talking and with humour better understand their predicament and that life's a gift, a pretty sweet ride. So do you and take it to the max. Nice one. On a more jovial note, how do you think you would both get on in either military training or an exercise operations? You're both robust men amongst men. I'd love to bring you down and let you experience some training, shooting and general shenanigans. Who do you think of the two of you as the biggest minerals? I think you'd pull off the camo look and we can set you both up as a couple of sweet, sweet soldiers. Keep up the great work, chaps. The Ox.
Wow. You know what? Wow. He has called himself, and he owns that name, to be fair. I think we've both done, for television shows, we've both done this military stuff, right? Like, look, number one, we've done military stuff within the boundaries of television and, it being sort of made easier for two slightly overweight fucking comedians. I don't know. I think Romesh has got a lot of, although he sort of knocks himself a lot of time, I think you've got, is it Witherall? I think you stick with something. I don't think you'd ever quit. You know, is that right? That's the right word, right? Witherall?
Witherall?
Yeah.
Is that a type of varnish?
No, Witherall is Witherall. Let me have a look at that.
Do you mean wherewithal?
Yes. That's exactly what I meant, right? But I do think, like, I think if me and you went to do, like, a soldier thing with these actual squaddies and, you know, maybe that is something we should do at some point. I mean, the shooting and fucking, like, the shenanigans sound like fun. It's fucking hard, isn't it, though? I shout out Dan Schreiber. I'm a listener of the show and owner of an amazing podcast himself. But me and him, many years ago, had to do a fucking army training thing for a pilot that we did. And they put us through the fucking paces. And let me tell you, it was fucking so fucking, like the respect you have for them. But also, it's quite emasculating when you're, you know, in the midst of, yeah, I mean, I know that you did the one for League of Their Own recently. And well, you've done it twice, haven't you?
Yeah, I did Marines training for League of Their Own, and then for Road Trip we did the SAS survival thing with Foxy and Ardo Kane. And I don't find, and by the way, this is me. I've got nothing but respect and admiration for people that can do it. I don't have the ability nor the inclination, and so my. I know you said that I've got the Witherall to never get. I just would give up so easily. I just don't have any steel about me at all. I've often said that you know when they say, "Oh, this person only survived because of their absolute dedication and you know their will to survive and blah blah blah." I imagine when they find my corpse, they'll say something like, "Do you know what? If only he'd put a bit of sort of effort in and shown a bit of kind of grit." You could have made out of this quite easily.
I don't know. I think back against the wall, I think you'd surprise yourself. I think you'd surprise everyone in your platoon, but, you know, also...
In my what?
Platoon, right? You'd surprise yourself.
Right.
Look, I would say now, right, in my mind, me and you, if, like, we're behind enemy lines, right, and I'm with, like, you know, the Ox and Darren and, I don't know, you know, Foxy and some others, right? And we're behind enemy lines and like you're sort of a bit behind us, right? And we get caught in a big sort of like crossfire shootout, right? I know for a fact that at the opportune time, like we're like, you know, and I'm like, Ox, we're down. We're fucking down, man. We've got no way out of this fucking thing. And then Foxy's like...
Is that how you talk?
Yeah. When I'm in the army, I would. And then the Ox is like, we need something. We need something, right? And then you, like, out of nowhere, I can just imagine, like, you going, I'm here! I'm here! Right? And then you'd be like, doof, 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 doof. And then, like, we're like, fucking hell, the owl's here, like that. He's fucking here. Like, we'd all start celebrating you. And you'd be like, there's a foxhole just over yonder, we can make it. And we'd all, we'd be like, yo, thanks, the owl. And like, thank you, owl. And like that. We all run to the foxhole, right? And then you'd be like last in shooting, and we'd be like, we thought you'd gone home, we thought you'd left us. You mean, I never leave my platoon, my friends, my kin. And we'd all like grab you and hug you and shake your hand, and then we'd just all run to freedom.
It's amazing, isn't it? Even in a story where I'm supposedly the biggest hero of it, you've managed to make me look like a fucking nuclear level prick. And also when you first did my voice in that story, you so wanted to get it humiliating that you took a deep breath in so that you could nail it. Don't think I didn't notice that. And that was only that was the fucking nicest it sounded throughout that whole story.
I'm just saying, right, that I think you would come back and save your platoon. That's
God. Okay, Tom.
Yeah.
Can you please do us the honour of taking us out?
Yeah, kick it back and relax. Remember your kin and those around you. For there was a man called Wesley, right? And many, many, many moons ago, Wesley was actually, in fact, the person who gave Jesus the bread to make, turn the bread into fish, like at school, in the school playground. Like Jesus, the first time he ever did it and he turned bread into fish was like, it was Wesley's piece of bread that he used, right? And Wesley was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, you know, and obviously Jesus shared the fish out amongst everyone and was showing off about it. And Wesley didn't really get any of that fucking, that sweet, sweet acclaim from anyone because it was his piece of bread. And like, Wesley's dad had a baker's. So quite a lot of the time, Jesus would be lurking around Wesley when he was first playing this trick to show people the fact that he's like, oh yeah, you know, oh Wesley, you got any more of that bread? Oh yeah, Wesley, you got any more of that bread, right? And Wesley went, yeah, 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 because he kind of like got a little kick out of being a small part of this whole thing, right? As Jesus's acclaim grew for his tricks and stuff, and he was now turning water into wine, and all the kids in the playground, like obviously he made friends with someone whose dad had a water mill. You know, people sort of like started, everyone started bringing bread in, get to go, oh yeah, can you turn this into fish? And he forgot about Wesley and his dad, the baker. And you know, as Jesus's like success and name grew around Bethlehem and all of like the world, and everyone was talking about him, and he was like fucking doing loads of cool shit, he forgot about Wesley. And you know, when Jesus then many, many years later was going through like his tougher tests and his tougher times, he was sort of like, people don't know, he went back to Bethlehem and he was just like, sort of like, you know, in the cloak of darkness walking around, and he noticed a light on in the building and he sort of scurried towards the light and he sort of looked through and it was like a very, very successful baker's. And he looked and he sort of squinted his eyes and he saw Wesley, the friend of from school, and he sort of tapped if on the window, if they had windows back then. If not, he just sort of like whistled through the open hole, and Wesley looked round and Jesus said, oh my God, it's you, it's Wesley. And Wesley said, oh, my friend, my beautiful friend. And he said, come in, have some bread, unless you want to turn it to fish. And Jesus said, actually no, I would love one of your sandwiches. So Jesus goes in and sort of starts eating the bread, and he says, oh, you know, maybe I lost touch of the fact that when we started out, we were a double act. And now, obviously, I've had world acclaim and you are still a humble baker. And Wesley said, no, I'm not a humble baker. I actually have 7 bakeries in Bethlehem and neighboring towns. And like you went on to find acclaim, but I kept my operation small, but still enough to have a beautiful family. And Jesus looks at him and goes, maybe you were the hero I needed to be. The moral of the story is, it's all well and good turning fish into bread into fish and using magic tricks, but sometimes hard work and knowing that being in the eye of the storm isn't actually worth it.
I mean, it's really beautiful. I've got absolutely no idea the point you're trying to make there.
I think it's that Wesley...
It feels like you're trying to signal to me that you want to go solo.
No, I think in the two of them, I'd probably be Wesley and you'd be Jesus in a lot of ways. But what I'm saying is, with Wesley, is Wesley didn't look towards the stars.
Right.
Because the stars only shine at night. Wesley knew that sometimes there'd be clouds and sometimes there'd be sun and sometimes there'd be rain, but everyone would always need bread. That's probably what I should have said at the end of it.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Now you've got the...
Well, look, thank you so much for listening, guys. Next week, we're back to 2 episodes a week. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes. Are you back next week?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, wowzers. Wow. 2 episodes next week. Romesh will be back with English Romesh rather than El Jefe, the boss from Portugal. I want you all to remember one thing. Stay real, stay credible, and stay you. I've been the wolf. He's been the owl.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about being tired and not really being on form today. Thank you very much. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.